Good evening. Why don't we have a word of prayer? Father, thank you for the opportunity to share. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to open your word. Lord, show us. Show us what you would have for us, your way, your time. But Lord, do that perfect work that only you can do. And we'll be thankful, Lord, that you would do it with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we are, another prayer meeting. And I was trying, go through, we've had the men filling in, and it's good. It's a good exercise for all of us. Thinking about what Ray covered last Sunday on the body, the spirit, and the mind, and how God uses that. He prepares us as we go through life. He's made that preparation for everybody, if people will listen. If we, being saved, will listen, he will guide thee with mine eye. I believe that. It's a journey. We're all on a journey. We're on a journey through life, and how do you know where you're going? A lot of times we plan well in advance. We're going to go here, and we're going to go there, and you're going to go here. What do you use to make a journey in life? Because there's no guarantee about tomorrow. I have a friend, some of you know, Richard, is 94 years old. He'll be 95 in September, and I went down to have coffee with him this week, and he's saying, I don't know, maybe I can get another year. My eyes don't work. I can't walk around like I used to, and other problems. And I told him, I said, it's not for you to decide how long you have. God has his plan on how long you have. Well, why does he keep me here? Maybe because I need a friend. So it's a good excuse to have a donut in the morning, too, So. But no, I hope you pray for him, because I don't approach him as being saved. He's trying to change the Catholic Church, and that's where he would like to come from. And he really has a good heart about what he'd like to do, and he will not deny anything from the Scripture. He won't deny that he can't work his way into heaven, and he can't buy his way into heaven. So it's a really good exercise, and it's a good exercise for me. So pray for him. I'd like to see him saved. So we're on this journey. What do? You make a plan. It's not like you're going to go and get out the map and make a pencil drawing, or you're not going to take a, I talk about grease pens, but nobody uses those anymore. What do you take out your AAA trip ticket? You don't have one of those neither do you have Magellan or whatever those other things are at all. Oh, you can go to MapQuest or Google Maps. I mean, there's so much stuff out there to help you do a trip, but really there's nothing out there to help us in making the trip through life other than God. The most dangerous thing. No, when you have a compass, I don't know if any of you had a compass before, and you're going to set the compass up, and you're going to look at the compass, and you usually have a map, and you put it on the map, and you point it over there, and say, I want to go over there, or I got to go, and in the military they teach so many paces, or you get so many meters. Used to be yards when I started, but now it's meters. And you go at 259 degrees for 300 meters. And the compass points you in that direction, and off you go. The most dangerous thing that they told us when I went through the service was to have a second lieutenant, new, with a compass and a map. Because he's been told basically where he's going to go. He's been given the map tools and the compass, And he's been trained to some degree, but he has no experience. Very dangerous. He thinks he's all set. He leads others, and the outcome may be affecting them also. So God is like a compass. God, we all have something in us that tells us. My friend, he says, you know, I'm 95, almost 95 years old. He says, people are nice to me. Why can't they be nice all the time? And I asked Richard, I says, Richard, why can't I be nice all the time? Why can't you be nice all the time? And that turns into a kind of a quiet time. So we are not nice all the time. We want to be nice. We want to do what God would have us to do, and we want to be steered by that. Steered. We want to be steered by that compass that God has for us. When I get off on my own, on my feelings, don't go by feelings. I've heard that taught, told so many times, but yet I'm one of the guys that feelings and emotions take over. Don't go on the emotion. Go on the truth. I think we ought to go up to the top of that hill. But that's not what the compass told us. That's not what we were sent to go do. Oh, yeah, but I'd like to go up to the top of the hill. And then guys, I think it's a guy problem, will not stop and ask for directions. I've been accused of that. You don't want to stop and ask for directions. Do you know where we are? Are we lost? No, not yet. God's compass will never fail. It'll always point true, and it'll always take you where you need to go. It never changes. It's always in the right direction. And you know, when you're using a regular compass, you take out points off of the map. You're looking and say, let's go up to the top of Hill 252, military. Why do they number hills with numbers like that? I mean, I don't look on the map of Middletown and find Hill 252 or something like that. I was read into it a little bit and found out that most of them are by the meters that they are in height. So we're going to go to Hill 252. All right. You pick something on top of the hill so if you can see it, because a lot of times you can't see, especially a long ways away, you can't see what you're really trying to go with that direction. I remember the first time I got a compass with five guys and we were headed out, I went to Panama. Friends of mine that we were stationed at Fort Riley, Kansas, we're nothing else to do, a bunch of second lieutenants, so I looked through the book and found some place that they would send you. And they volunteered us all. In other words, we all volunteered. Let's go to the jungle orientation course. The only bad part about that was it was 10 days on the tour, one day in the beginning in the barracks, one day in the middle, and one day at the end. The rest of the time, you were in the jungle, because how would you ever become familiar with it if you weren't out there living in it? Here's my compass, my three guys behind me, and I'm looking, well, I know I got to go up to that spot, and it's only 1,000 meters. That's a long way. But I'm looking at this jungle bamboo overgrowth that I can't even see. Once you get off the road, it's like a nothing. So how do you find up at the top? If you can pick a spot on the top of the hill that you've lined up on a map, we'll make it easy. It's got a lighthouse on it. So I know I've got to go to the lighthouse. Okay. Well, God has those same things for us. He sets the thing. He says, I want you to go in this particular direction. I'm going to guide you. And along the way, you'll see these different points to establish you are going in the right direction. How do we know where we're going? God establishes it. He uses other things. He uses his word. He establishes points and principles and statutes and laws to help us along our way so that I'm not depending on me because my emotions may get in the way. I might not want to go the way he wants me to go. But we've talked about that, the past speakers in the last week, about God's will, looking for God's will. God created us so he could commune with us. He made us in his image, and he wants to, I would that all men would be saved. Why? That's the goodness of God. I would that all men would be saved. And we will go in that direction. We will look, or that's what we're supposed to be doing. We will look.
1 Samuel, I'm sorry, Psalm 32.
Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I, God, will teach you. Okay. He will deal with us as we are. He knows my body. He knows my soul. He knows the spirit that is within me. And he will, as I look to him, can be led by him. I can be led by him to do just what he wants. And he's very, very patient. He's very loving. And he will not lead me astray. Like I said, his compass is always true. While we're in Psalm, go back to Psalm 25. Psalm 25, 8, verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. So, if I want to be taught his way, I would look at it that I need to practice being meek. That doesn't mean that I don't have an opinion. It doesn't mean that I don't speak up. It means that I got a humbleness when it's represented to God and a meekness that allows me to be taught. The meek will he guide. If I'm not meek, it'll be harder. It doesn't say that I can't be taught, but this is what he wants. He wants me to align myself to him. I need to be looking for him. But do we? Do I? Psalm 48. And 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will guide even unto death. We sang that. One of the verses in that hymn was, even when death comes, or towards death, God will guide me with his eye. God is a father. A father, and we can look in, we could, you know, a father won't give his child a brick when he asks for a loaf of bread, or a scorpion when he asks for a fish. And if you, being earthly fathers, know how to give your children good gifts, how much more the Heavenly Father? God is not going to, he wants to be that father that reaches out and can guide the child, me. He wants that. We as parents would like to be able to reach out and guide our children. It takes a while to learn that the guiding only takes them so far. And then you got to let go. It's kind of like teaching them to ride the bicycle, and you're walking beside them with your hand on the seat, and all of a sudden you let go of the seat, and they pedal along. You can only, it makes it so much easier if I'm willing to be guided, if I'm willing to look for His purpose, His will, to take this, as Jim told us, and make sure it's in here. It's not just the, I read it, but I've applied it. It's now with me, and I now can move through tomorrow, and it's going to help me. He will help me. He'll guide me. He'll take me through those things. He's constant even to death. Go with me over to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11, please. I'm getting there. Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Integrity. To have integrity as one of the inner things that guide me, that God works to build that up. It doesn't just come and today I have integrity and tomorrow I don't. It's something that builds in you that you honor God. You want to honor God. So that when you go down the path, your integrity before God is seen as integrity before men. My word is my bond. I said, yes, I would do that. I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States. Almost every one of our elected officials raises their hand to say that. I don't know how many of them continue to do it. I don't know. I don't want to be that way with God. I want to turn around and I want God to have free reign in my heart that He might guide me, might take me along this journey that I don't know where it's going, but I know He's got my hand. And I think maybe the last time we were talking, looking back at what God has done in your life will always help you to see forward, to trust, to go forward. It's kind of like a straight line. Well, He helped me back here. Oh, and He took me through that problem. And this was my worst case thought. And He took me through that. Why wouldn't I trust Him with tomorrow? Why wouldn't I trust Him with the next thing that comes up? I will. I should. Sometimes I need a little poke. Hey, you got to listen to God. Cautions are in place, just like this integrity. It's a cautionary thing. Be careful as you're in that journey of life that you approach God in a way that God will be honored and glorified. How do I do that? I believe Him. I listen to Him. I act on those things that I know so that I'll walk in that direction. God will never lead us in a direction outside of His will. We are the ones that have a tendency to wander off the will a little bit. That's us. I mean, that's how we are. God made us this way. Not that He wants us to go off on our own little tangents. Watch out for the emotions, because the emotions are the ones that'll take you there. Nobody here has ever been angry. Ugh. Boy, have I been angry. Nobody here has been worried. Oh yeah. Anxious. All those things that God tells us, I've got it. I got it right here. Oh, it's not a big enough problem that I'll trust God with. No. No. He already knows it. He already knows about tonight. He knows about sickness and health, work, home, school. And He knew about it from the beginning of time. And he knows who's going to come after us, and when he also knows when the cup will be full, and he'll come back in his time. John chapter 16. John 16. Nope, that's 15. John chapter 16 and verse 13. 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. The Holy Spirit, who dwells within me, within you, within the believer. What a power. What a power. To avail us of those insights, that he would be able to lead us into truth. We might seek him. We might seek him. We must seek him. Acts chapter 8. I'm sorry, my fingers aren't going like they should. Okay. Acts chapter 8 and verse 31. And he said, this is about Philip and the Ethiopian who was in the chariot going back to Egypt and all the rest. And he was riding along, and he was reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And Philip was put to him to come and provide help for the Ethiopian, because... verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I accept some man should come and guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, the first thing is, that's man saying, well, unless some man come and guide me. And God provided the man in Philip to come. And God provides us the answers when we have problems. Do you understand that? No. Other people will, the brethren are wonderful, pastor, to help understand that which is coming. And here, the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. The eunuch was saved. Here's water. What prohibits me from, I'm saved, I'm going to be baptized? God moves. God moves in all the mysterious ways, all the wonderful ways. You don't have to go there. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I need to acknowledge God. I need to acknowledge him, me and him. I need to acknowledge him with the family, and I need to acknowledge him with the brethren, and I need to acknowledge him in the workplace where others don't, they might not expect it. They don't see it. I need to bring him with me, because he's already willing to come. He's there. Lord, where are you going to take me today? I don't know. Use the opportunities. He's guiding. He leads us in his will, by his will. We're led to the place where God wants us and that honors him and accomplishes his will. It isn't about me. It's all about him. And he tells us those things. God is a God of order. He puts things in order. He puts the assembly, an image of God's order. Order is his business. Order is in his word. He sets it in place. Over in Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth evermore, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. It's his. He does it in order. So when I'm looking for his guidance to me, it's in his order. Lord, I want you to guide me, but I only want you to guide me on Tuesday. No, Lord, I got a really tough thing coming up at work. I want you to guide me. Well, what about today before you have to go to work? It's simple, but it's hard. It's simple to see what God wants. It's hard to approach it and grab onto it and let it happen. Because everything out there wants to take it away from you. Take it away from me. Everything. If they can't take it away and just make it all quiet, they'll bend it and shape it so that it takes less of a meaning. It's been going on for years. It happens. Nations will rise against nations, and then you get in a war, and especially like the Civil War in the States, each side prayed to God. Many of the people that were in it only prayed to God when they were losing or they were getting killed. We need to be guided because we don't understand. Well, we don't understand what tomorrow's going to bring. So it'd be a really good thing to be looking for God's guidance for tomorrow. God says in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, let all things be done decently and in order. That's the God that wants to guide me. He doesn't want me to take on and make things in disorder. He wants my life to be orderly. So we've talked about the journey. We've talked about him being our guide and our conformity to direction. I want to be in his will. Sometimes it's hard. Lord, I want your will. Sometimes very clear. No. Sometimes it's yes. Usually backed up by his word and scripture. And sometimes it says, wait. That's the hard part. Yes, it's a dangerous place. Job described it in 10:22 as a land of darkness, as darkness itself and the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness. Job, way back then, and he could recognize, I mean, those things could describe the day we live in. It's applicable. We serve God. He's our Lord, our Savior, our Creator. It was interesting in preparing notes. I came across something, and I sometimes when I do that, I'll put something back over here for another Sunday school lesson later on or something. You don't have to go there. It's in Ezra 8:22. It says, "For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him." Here Ezra is saying, I'm embarrassed that I had to ask the king for something. This is my God. I shouldn't have to be. God will take care of all of those things. But in God's own way, he was providing for his people in the transit through the land, going back into the land. So what stands in the way of our success? I go back to Israel, Judges chapter 2. And verse 16. "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went whoring after other gods, bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. But they did not so." They did not so. Most cases, when you go back through the scriptures as God was dealing with Israel, they tell them one thing, they'd all say, yes, we'll do it, but they wouldn't. They didn't. They don't want to hear it. We are blessed because we can listen to God's word, we can do business with him, we can be saved, and then we can be led, guided in the direction we should go. We are truly blessed. I can't imagine trying to go through the starting out right today if I was unsaved. What a tragic to go into war and famine and all these other diseases and all the lies that are going back and forth around and to be found in that. Without God, I don't want that ever. He leads us into truth. What I've tried to do is to set aside the fact that God guides us. He wants to guide us. He wants to be the indwelling. He wants to be involved in my life, your life. And he wants to use us to accomplish his will. I need to be looking for his will. I need to be willing to do his will. And when things get tough, I need to go back to God and help him, pray to him that he will help me to see the right way in this. It's really old-fashioned. This is not the way we do things. This is not what all the other churches are doing. This is not what so-and-so tells me, commentators and all these other people, talking heads. No, I need to be able to look to him, to grasp him and hold on to him, come what may. I need him. The assembly, we need him. The country, we need him. There isn't anything that he can't take you through or me through. Even this stuff, wow. I shared last time that Winston Churchill had said, a lie can get started and be halfway around the world before a truth can put its pants on. Boy, isn't that true? Now with cell phones and And you can start something, make it a lie, and then you can even confess that it was a lie and it was a mistake, but the damage has already been done. It's all out there. What a day. But God knows. God knows, and God will take us through that.